In today's Mishnah, we're in the sixth and final Mishnah from the second parak of Masechta Megillah, and then we'll start the third parak. And in yesterday's Mishnah, we listed a number of mitzvot whose time to perform the mitzvah was during the day, and we said one has the entire day to perform the mitzvah. In today's Mishnah, we'll list those mitzvot whose time to perform the mitzvah is actually during the night, so the polar opposite of what we learned yesterday. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-layla kasher le-ketzirat omer. This entire night is valid to perform the mitzvah of harvesting the omer. So if you remember yesterday, we talked about the korban ha-omer, the waving of the omer that was offered on the second day of Pesach. However, the harvesting, the mitzvah of harvesting the barley for that meal offering, the mitzvah was to be performed during the entire night. Similarly, hekter chalavim ve'ivarim, also the offering of the various fats and limbs of the korbanot, the time to do so is during the entire night, meaning from the korban that were offered during the day. Mishnah says, zaklal, this is a general rule, davar she'mitzvah to b'yom, any time you have a mitzvah whose time to do so is during the day, kasher kol ayom, it is valid the entire day to do so. Now, when you have a zaklal after mentioning many, many details, Mishnah has come to include something else that hasn't been specified. So according to the Gemara explains that this also includes a mitzvah of placing the lechem apanim, the showbread, on the shulchan, as well as the bizichei levon, or the spoonfuls of incense. And devar shemitzvah to b'layla, any mitzvah you have to perform during the night, it's kasher, it's really valid during the entire night. And that comes to include the mitzvah of eating the korban Pesach. However, as we've explained in certain situations, this is back in Brachot, Chachamim actually said, despite the fact the mitzvah minotor is all during the entire night, they limit you until midnight. And that was kedei lachik et adam min aveira, that was in order to distance a person from transgression. Meaning, a person will say, look, I've got plenty of time left, fall asleep, and then not perform mitzvah at all. Let's learn Mishnah Aleph in this third parak. What the Mishnah is going to be explaining here is selling certain items of Kedusha, and the question is, what can I use that money for? And the principle that underlines this Mishnah is, we say, Malim b'kodesh v'lo meridin. Anything of Kedusha, you have to go upwards, you cannot go down. So the Mishnah says, Bnei ir shamachru rechova shel ir. If the people of a city sell their rechova, rechova was a region where they would gather during Taniot and Mamadot, therefore it has some level of Kedusha. What would they do with the money? Lokhim b'damav beit ha-knesset, you use that money to buy a shul. Beit ha-knesset, the sale of a shul, use that money. Lokhim teva, you'd buy an arona kodesh. However, the Gemara explains that we're only dealing with a shul of kfarim, of a village. Why? Because in that situation, it was purchased only for the occupants of that kfar, for that small village. And therefore, all the shareholders are known, and you could have come to an agreement to sell the shul. However, when it comes to a beit ha-knesset of a big city, that you wouldn't be able to sell. Why? Because in that situation, it wasn't just purchased for the immediate users of that shul, but really purchased for everybody. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to sell it. Let's continue. So if you sell a shul, you use that to buy an rakodesh, as we said. The money from a teva, you sell that. Lochim mitbachot, you can use it for covering sifrei Torah. Mitbachot, what about coverings of sifrei Torah? You use that to buy sfarim, which refers to sifrei nevi'im ktuvim. And sfarim, if you sell those, or another opinion is actually chumashim. But if you sell sfarim lochim Torah, you'd buy sifrei Torah. And then we stop there. Aval im machru Torah, sefer Torah, if you sell a sefer Torah, you cannot go downwards. Therefore, you cannot buy sfarim, loichu sfarim. Sfarim, if you sell sfarim, loichu mitbachot, you cannot buy these coverings of sefer Torah. Mitbachot, you sell mitbachot, you cannot buy a teva, which is an arakodesh. Teva, if you sell an arakodesh, loichu beit ha-knesset, you cannot buy a shul. And beit ha-knesset, if you sell that, loichu et ha-rechov, you cannot buy this rechov, this region outside, where they would gather for taniot and mamadot. Vechen b'motrahem, this is also true with respect to the change, meaning you sell something that has Kedusha, and you use it to buy something of a higher level of Kedusha, but you've got money left over, the same restriction applies to the money left over as well. You cannot use that money to buy something of a lower level of Kedusha. The Mishnah continues, Ein mochrin et shel rabim. You cannot sell a shul that belonged to the rabbin, to the public, liyachid, to an individual, despite the fact it will be used as a shul. Why? Because it is a dissenting kedusha. Why? Because a shul that belongs to the rabbim has a higher level of kedusha than a shul that belongs to an individual. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. However, Amru Lo, they said, the Chachamim said to him, that's not true. Why? Imken, because if you're going to restrict that situation, you're also going to restrict the sale af lo mi'ir gedol al ir ktana, the sale of a shul from a large city to a smaller city, meaning that would be attended by a smaller number of people. Because that as well is effectively a dissenting Kedusha, because we have the concept of Barov Am Hadrat Melech, which means that it gives greater honor to a king when there's a greater number of people showing honor to him. So Chachamim reasoned that since there's no restriction of selling a shul from a Ir Gdola to Ir Ktana, similarly there's no restriction of selling a shul that belongs to a Rabbim to a Yachid, and those are the Mishnah today.